Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles. It's your girl, Monique Leray, and this is The Startup with Monique Leray on LA Talk Radio. It's so great to be back with you guys after my one-year anniversary blowout in Miami. Thank you so much for everyone that put in some time and effort and energy. Special shout out to my producing coordinator, Gentry Stanley, and his team, as well as CJ Lysette, Christopher John. Thank you so much. They are also my co-stars on the Pandemic Project documentary that will be streaming a preview this winter on the Roku channel through BU TV. So thank you so much for that. And everyone at the Dream Hotel in Miami, Dan Renzi, Dr. No. And today I'm in San Juan, Puerto Rico. The casting for the project continues. So we are hitting 20 cities, and I think this is city 12. And tomorrow we'll be in New York. So we're just traveling fools right now. But the show doesn't stop here on The Startup. And I have two amazing guests. Today, we have Tiara Moore from Save Our Jewels. Tiara, how are you doing today, this afternoon?
I am doing wonderful. Thank you for having me tonight.
Oh my gosh, it's a pleasure to have you. So I love your whole concept, everything that you're doing for women's health. And I think we had you on before, and you gave us a quick overview, if you will, because there's so much information to learn from this topic. I thought maybe we'd just dedicate about 30 minutes to really do a deep dive into who you are, what you do, and how this product and this brand came to be.
Well, thank you so much. So yes, I am very passionate about educating women about how to protect their reproductive health and how to have good reproductive health. Because a lot of times women are using feminine care products, and these products are poisoning our systems. You know, we're talking about pads, we're talking about tampons, we're talking about douches and wipes and sprays. A lot of these products are full of toxic chemicals that cause so many problems for women's reproductive health. And so I am an educator at heart. I am a veteran educator. I've been in the field of education for about 18 years now. I can't believe I'm saying that. 18 years. Do I look old?
It's funny when you, 18-year-old. It's funny when you say it out loud, right? You're really good at that, though.
Thank you. You walked away learning more.
Yeah, so please do. Dive right up on in. Yeah.
Yes. And so one of the things that I do is I go around and I educate women about the dangers of feminine care products, particularly pads and tampons, and of so many women and menstruators, let me say menstruators, that I run into are so unaware of what they're putting on in their bodies. So let's start with the pads.
Okay.
Woo, brace yourself, people. Brace yourself, because this information.
Yes. It's a taboo subject for some reason, but we cover all brands on The Startup with Monique Leray. Yes. And why not women as well?
Yes. And so with the typical pad that you find in the store, even the tampon, they are full of toxic chemicals, as I stated. So number one, let's talk about how they're made. So they're made out of plastic and also rayon. A lot of people think that they're made out of cotton. There are some brands that are made out of cotton, and it'll specifically say it on the packaging, but the majority of them are made out of plastic and rayon. And plastic is not good at all for the woman's reproductive system or the menstruator's reproductive system because it disrupts our hormones. It throws our pH balance completely off. So that's the first thing. So then they take this plastic and rayon, and they take it through a multi-step bleaching process to make it white. Now, when they bleach this product, it causes a chemical called dioxin to be produced that causes cancer, developmental problems, reproductive problems, and also in some cases, infertility. Dioxin is actually more dangerous than cyanide. And this is what we are wearing every month. And so
who made these decisions in the beginning? I know you're going to get into the history of this.
Yeah, and it's actually, sadly, an unregulated industry. So the pad manufacturers, the tampon manufacturers, they are not bound by any law to put the ingredients on the packaging. That's why you will see a lot of organizations who are lobbying Congress to make them put the ingredients on the packaging, because every person who uses these products has a right to know what they're putting in and on their bodies. There's this whole detox the box movement going on that has been going on for years to get this legislation passed. So hopefully this will be something that will come to light very, very, very soon.
Detox the box. I love that. Yeah. I love it. It's so smart and rhymes.
In more ways than one, right? Detox the box in more ways than one. Yeah. But also, you know, some other ingredients that I found just from doing some research, you know, styrene, which is also found in car tires, are found in these pads and tampons. Chloroethane and chloromethane, which is used in petroleum refining, and also styrofoam cups. Acetone, which is used in nail polish remover. All of these things have been found in these conventional pads that you find in the store, even some of the tampons. And so a lot of people, you know, we just unknowingly go to the store, we see the commercial on the TV, we say, oh, this is something that I need. You know, I'm on my period. I need something to take care of this situation. I go to the store, I pick up this product off the shelf, not knowing that this is a ticking time bomb that we're wearing every single month. Even with the tampons, you know, I try to educate women on proper tampon use. You know, if it was up to me, menstruators wouldn't wear tampons, but I know they do have their place. Less about why. So when a woman, I'm sorry, I keep saying women, I have to break that cycle, menstruators.
Well, can you clarify for the viewers and listeners why you're continuing to kind of check yourself on that?
Yes, because not all people who menstruate identify as female, right? We have our trans male population, they have a period, but they don't necessarily identify as a woman, right? Or female. So I have to constantly check myself, you know, it's just a force of habit by saying woman or female, but
and that's nice of you to try myself to be inclusive. Yes. Okay.
Yes. Yes. And so when we wear a tampon, it actually stops the flow of the uterus cleansing itself out. So when we're on our period, the uterine lining, blood, bacteria, waste products, mucus, all that stuff is trying to get out of your body. That's the body's way of cleansing itself out, right? So when we wear a tampon, even a Diva cup or menstrual cup, and we'll talk about that later, it actually stops the flow. It plugs up the waste products inside of our bodies, and it's not absorbed fully into that tampon. And so what happens to all those waste products? It gets reabsorbed right back into the system.
Don't tell me that, Tiara.
Yes, and now that it's in the bloodstream, what is it doing? It's circulating to every cell, tissue, organ, and organ system in your body. And so if, you know, if a menstruator has to wear a tampon just an hour at the most, you know, wear for an hour, take it out, because it is doing more harm than good. And it also leads to potentiality of getting toxic shock syndrome, which is a very, very dangerous bacterial infection that can cause death, can even, you know, cause people to lose their limbs and suffer in a lot of different ways. So,
okay.
Yes. So that's a big part of my job, is really just providing that education. And then, of course, people are like, okay, well, what can I wear? Okay. Since I can't wear, you know, the conventional pads in the store, what can I wear? And so, of course, you know, I talk about a lot of different products, but the one that I, you know, advocate for is the Jewel Premium Sanitary Napkin.
Here we go.
Okay. So this is a plant-based sanitary napkin, biodegradable, and it is 10 times more absorbent than the conventional pads that you find in the store. And a lot of menstruators say that it has great, great effects on their system, because it helps reduce odor, period odor, don't have the strong period smell. The cramping is reducing or going away completely. The cycle length is reducing. So I personally went from 7 days to about 4 days from
wearing the product. Really? You cut it almost in half?
Yes. Wow. Yes. Yes. And a lot of our users say that their heavy bleeding is actually going down as well. So it's a phenomenal product. We are the only pads in North America that have a graphene strip in it. So graphene is just carbon atoms, but the molecular structure is jagged. So when bacteria come in contact with the graphene, it cuts it like a knife. If you think of like a serrated knife coming in contact with something very soft, like a tomato or a boiled egg, you know, it just slices right through it. It's the same concept with the graphene strip. And so a lot of women are cutting down on their bacterial vaginosis, cutting down on the odor, the infections. It's amazing. And everything is plant-based. Everything is safe. Everything is healthy. No toxic chemicals. And we are a business headquartered in Metro Atlanta. And the product is amazing. We get so many great reviews. And as you can see, the packaging is so elegant.
It's very elegant and it's not, I've had the pleasure of trying them, and just for my recyclers and my, you know, earth friendly viewers and listeners, this packaging is earth friendly and there's waste not, want not with the packaging. You don't overdo the packaging, which I really like, and it's light.
Yes. And even the packaging is recyclable. So we do have that label on the packaging, like, please recycle, do not throw this in the trash. Yes. So.
Well, you know, I think what I need to understand is who came up with this recipe, because, you know, the regular gal or guy, whoever goes shopping for these products, sees organic. And so we feel better, because I'm seeing a whole line of things coming out saying organic and, you know, easier on your body. Is that a lie, or are they better than the tire products and things that we have? Are they saying they're organic because they're not putting tires in their products?
Yeah, a lot of them are saying organic because they're not bleached. But we did find that when we kind of dissect the pads, because we like, when we do our demonstrations with our product, we like to dissect the pad and show our users exactly what is in our product versus what is in the conventional pad. And a lot of times when we break those pads down, some of the ingredients are the same, but it does not contain like the bleach. And for a lot of them, they're substituting the plastic for cotton, which is an upgrade. I mean, it's better. It's not, you know, a 100%.
We're getting solution, up. We're getting on ground level now. Yeah, we're so below the ground level.
Mm-hmm. But even like a lot of the backing, so our product, the backing of the pad is even biodegradable. But with a lot of the organic pads, their backing is still made out of plastic. Okay. So, you know, when you have that plastic top and bottom layer, you know, that's like a recipe for disaster, because plastic does not breathe. Right. And so we know that with the vagina, breathability is key. Otherwise, you're going to have odor, you're going to have infection. And so even with some of those organic pads, because they have the plastic backing, you're still having the problem with odor. You're still having the problem with the infection because there's no breathability in the pad. But a lot of them do have it where it's not bleached, and they do have less chemicals in it. So.
You're an innovator, and I love that about you. Our synergy is really good because we're working on something together. And I wonder if you're going to be coming out with, and you're probably already in the works for it, but pregnancy, post-pregnancy products, you know, when women are shifting back to normal after that whole situation.
Yes, that is actually in the works as well. And I do want to mention that our products are also great for incontinence and light bladder leaks as well. You know, sometimes when people have give birth, you know, they have the C-section, and that does affect the bladder. You know, you can cough or sneeze, and, you know, you have a little tinkle.
Oh, man.
Our pads are great for that. But yes, we do have another line of products that are coming that we think people will very much enjoy.
I'm excited for your future. And you sent me something that was so epic. Your presentation was so crisp and clean. And I thought, wow, this is going to be something that a lot of businesses are going to want to jump on. And it's a pleasure to be helping you and behind the scenes to be a part of it. Are we at a stage where we can talk about it?
Yes.
Or maybe tease it out a little bit?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you tell the viewers and listeners what you're up to?
So our next big thing is we are very, very big on giving back to the community. And we have a fundraiser that we are launching for businesses and also for nonprofit organizations. It's called the $1 million for 100 Organizations Project. And we are looking to, you know, partner with different businesses, organizations, and basically help you fundraise. And you'll be fundraising with our product, Jewel Premium Sanitary Napkins. But I break it down very, very easily for you to see how you can easily raise $1 million for your organization. And even if you didn't want to raise, you know, $1 million, let's say your goal was $10,000 or $5,000. We have ways to work with you on how you can easily raise that for your organization. And not only that, are we helping you with the fundraiser, but once you reach your goal, your fundraising goal, let's say you do reach that $1 million mark, we are going to provide an additional 1% on top of that to go back into your organization, back into your business, or it can go to a charity of your choice. So if you do hit your $1 million goal, we're giving you an extra $10,000 to help fund your mission. So that is amazing.
You know how to motivate people, Tiara. By quality products and money, honey.
We have this mission, right? We really want to, number one, have it where menstruation is not a taboo subject to speak about, right? I mean, this is a natural act. It's something natural. All of us should be talking about it. Nobody should be ashamed about it. But then also we're on this mission to get our menstruators out of toxic products. So with you doing the fundraiser with us, you're helping us reach our mission. And so we're going to help you reach your mission as well. So it's something I'm very excited about.
And I'm so excited for you. It's so smart. It's like I said, the presentation is so crisp, so clean, so innovative, and the numbers make sense. And it's a win-win for everybody. It really is. And these are great gifts for people coming up for Christmas, Hanukkah, for birthdays, or just any time. If you have a teen in your family that's a cheerleader, or just a teen in general, or a wife. Our producer Ronan just wrote in. He said he's going to be ordering some from his wife and kids.
Oh, so, wonderful!
Yes. And so you've got a new customer there.
and something great about our fundraiser as well is that we do a lot of the work for you. So we provide you with a website that your supporters can go to purchase the product. You don't have any inventory to hold at all. We ship everything straight from our warehouse to your supporters. So all you have to do is you just get your supporters to go to your website and purchase. And we do the rest of the work. I mean, it's just so seamless. It's so easy. And then you're not only helping your organization or your business reach its goals, but then you're helping menstruators around the world to be in a safe product that actually helps them have a better menstrual experience. So it's a win-win. You know, it is a win-win. So
I can see your Save Our Jewels going around to the girl orphanages and, you know, in spots that are a little, you know, less fortunate, and places where young ladies are needing that education, you know, everywhere, but in there as well. And okay. And we've got a little feedback here from our producer. He's talking about maybe a subscription plan or some type of monthly, no pun intended, cat of the month club or something.
Yeah, so we actually do have a subscription service. We do have that where, you can choose how often you would like to receive the products, whether it's every week, every month, every 2 months, 3 months, you know, you can choose that. But yes, we do have a subscription service in place. Yes, we're excited about that.
What does the turnaround point look like, Tiara, when someone takes on and merges their company with your fundraising project? So what is the turnaround? Are they getting paid at the end of the month as the funds come in, like a kind of a crowdfund? Or how does that work? Is it held in escrow? Or
so the organization or business would decide what the length of their funding cycle. So some may choose, okay, I want to do this for 2 weeks. Some may say, I want to do this for 4 weeks. Some may say, okay, I want to do this for 2 months. So at the end of the funding cycle that they choose, at the end of that cycle, all of the sales will be tabulated. And then within 7 days, you have a check.
Love it. We're happy to announce today that the Startup with Monique LeRae will be joining Save Our Jewel in our own fundraising campaign. I need to figure out what our goal is going to be, Tiara. Okay. But what's a good goal for people to start off? I know everyone's needs are different. What goal is being achieved the most, would you say? What price point are people?
I would say the 5,000.
Sorry about that. I'm in San Juan. Viewers. Okay.
Yeah, it really depends on the reach of the organization, because we have some businesses that have huge followings. And so, you know, them doing a $250,000 campaign is something that's very achievable for them. If you have a large network, you know, even the hitting the $1 million goal is achievable. But I would say at least do a minimum of $5,000 to be your goal. That is getting 715 of your supporters to make a purchase. And you have $5,000. So
okay. I like
very
that.
Achievable. And we are assisting. So we are, you know, assisting with marketing materials, with things that you can place on social media. We are doing lives, you know, with you all. To get the word out about the product and to talk about why people should purchase from you. So you will definitely get a lot of support from us on our end. We'll also send you, you know, products in a beautiful box that you can unbox on social media. And, you know, you can talk about the products, and it will have your, you know, your logo on it to show that you are in partnership with us. So we are going to definitely give you a lot of support. We're not going to just like say, here's a fundraiser, go do it. Right?
Well, we're going to give you a lot of support. And I think you're like the modern day Mary Kay, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. she had her lane and she built this huge empire, God rest her. But I think with social media and all the things, the other added tools that we have today, you can really achieve your goal. So yes. it sounds really doable. All right. Why don't you give everyone your handles and where they can find Save Our Jewels?
Okay, wonderful. So you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Save Our Jewels. And then my website is www.saveourjewels.com. And love to connect with you all. If you all would like more information about the fundraiser, you can email me at Tiara, that's T-I-A-R-R-A, at saveourjewels.com. So I would love to speak with you all further, give you the full layout of the plan so you can see exactly how this can work for you. And you can see, you know, how we will support you in this endeavor. And then we can talk, set a goal, and talk about how we can make this happen.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to walk through the airport, you know, because you can always get like your makeup in the benefit vending machine, or, you know, you get headphones, you know, Beats by Dre. I feel like there'll be a Save Our Jewels vending machine in the bathroom in the airports or something.
Vending machines are coming as well. Vending machines are coming. Yes, we've been speaking with that about that with our company. So, yes.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much. And why don't you leave us with something else? If you have like one more tip or a piece of education, you know, that you can shine on us today.
Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, all of us have someone in our life that we love and care about. You know, even men who are listening to this, this information is for you as well, because you have a niece or a cousin or a mom or an auntie, someone in your life that is special to you. And we need help getting this word out. You know, even if, you know, people say, okay, I don't want to use Jewel Premium Sanitary Napkins, it's fine. But at least share the education and the information that I share with them, because we want as many people as possible making informed, conscious decisions. We do not want our menstruators, you know, wearing toxic products, because it leads to a host of health issues. It leads to, you know, not only uterine issues, but again, if you think about it, when you have these toxins floating around the body, circulating around the body, it manifests in many different ways, not just in uterine health problems, you know, that's because so it's true. Even been shown that the blue dye that a lot of pad manufacturers use has been linked to breast cancer. So we want our women, our trans men, all menstruators to be healthy as possible. You know, even like I said, they're great for incontinence as well. So even those who suffer from incontinence, we want them in a healthy product. You know, that's our whole mission, getting people healthy healthy, healthy, healthy. So please help us spread the word. Yes. And, you know, just bring up the topic among your loved one and see if it's something that they know, because most people do not know how toxic these products are.
Yeah, it's so taboo. I remember getting a class when I was 16 and that was it. So, you know, it's something that people don't bring up. But like you say, there's someone that we love or care about that is a woman and that is in need of these products, or an administrator, excuse me, that is in need of these products. So
absolutely.
Check out Tiara Moore at SaveOurJewels.com or on Instagram, Facebook, MySpace, everywhere. And what are your price points if someone wants to jump online and grab a package?
They're $6 online. With the fundraiser, we sell our packets for $10. And, and we'll talk about, you know, if you decide to get more information about the fundraiser, will explain, you know, why we chose that price point and how much money you'll get off of each pack as well, and how we can help meet your fundraising needs.
I love it. You'll be back to educate us further in about 2 weeks. Is that right, Tiara?
Yes.
Okay. I'm excited. And, you know, maybe we'll get some questions for you to answer by that time. I'll be back at home. I won't be mobile in hotels. And it's a pleasure to have you, Tiara.
Thank you so much.
All right, beautiful. We'll see you soon. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yes. See you soon.
See you soon.
Thank you.
All right, you guys. Oh, you're welcome. All right, you guys. That was Tiara Moore. And I believe we have Roger Lewis in the wings waiting for us. Roger, are you there?
I won't be mobile in
this. Yes, hi.
And, Roger Lewis.
Happy Tiara.
Thank you so much. All right. How are you? We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yes.
Oh, you've got the feedback, Roger.
Well, you should be good now.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, that was Tiara Moore. I can still hear you, Roger.
Roger Lewis in the wings waiting for us.
And while Roger is getting that adjusted, make sure you follow us on Instagram, Monique, the Startup with Monique Larray, L-O-R-E, or Cap Aquarius Media, or Monique Larray Stinson. And now we have the fabulous Roger Lewis from what are we calling it? Urban, what are we saying? It's urban environments, right?
The whole concept is elevating urban environments. And thank you, Monique. I appreciate it. How are you doing all the way down there in San Juan today?
I'm doing great. You know, we avoided any hurricane. It seems to be going around us and above us, but we're okay. It was a beautiful day here. Thank you so much.
It's too bad you have to be inside sitting here talking without me.
It's a pleasure, you know, and I got my sun time today. So tell us about elevating urban environments and give people a little bit of a background about who you are, what you've been doing in your career. I find you very fascinating.
Well, actually, it's have you got a couple of hours? I'll consult.
I know, right?
I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you about, I'm basically involved in just trying to do things in this portion of my life that raised the quality of our urban existence, our ability to live together in urban environments. I moved to San Diego, and I'm down here in San Diego. I know most of your audience is up there in the Los Angeles area, but I have some connections up there, especially with a particular one of the things that I'm involved with here in San Diego. But I moved here in 1980 to go to UCSD, and my background is basically in, I have a degree in biology from UCSD in ecology, behavior, and evolution. And while that's my calling, is the whole principle of, say, you know, working in the back in the environments and creating the future for us that's going to be able to provide for diversity and good quality of life, but also the future of our planet. I wasn't so much the type of person else. Some of my friends did. They went on into academia and so forth. But I always kind of found my calling in coming home to the city, being an urbanist, liking and enjoying the cultural, you know, amenities of living in the city, going to theater, what have you, and being involved in local community and political stuff. And I was kind of politically active. And along with that, was totally involved and interested in the urban form and architecture. So while working in the realm of, you know, trying to work in the realm of promoting environmental stability and sustainability and so forth, I kind of diversified off into the realm of city planning. So I got a master's in city planning as a way of, I think, trying to help inform the discussion at the city and in political circles, whether it be at local government or whatever, so that we would be able to better represent the unheard voices. In other words, the scientific research or the animals, all the things that are out in the natural world, with an idea of trying to create lessen the pressure on the backwoods or our native or our natural lands. And I thought best for me, I always felt that the urban existence, it may not be for everybody, but I more or less believe that we as a general being, as a human human endeavor, we like to live in, I use the term communal situations, small c, where we can feed off of each other and we have the ability to create our best selves and work in concert with one another. And again, I say it's not that everybody does that, but if you look at a bell curve, I kind of think it has that kind of sense where we're all kind of find ourselves in the middle. So for me, it was always trying to, and more recently, I guess in the last 10 years of my life, when I've had the ability to be able to kind of diversify into things, that it was important to try and get involved and try and promote things or do things that promoted the ability or those things that made living in the urban existence or urban cities better, that would create an environment where people like you and I, because you live in the city and most of the people we're talking to today obviously do too. How can we make our neighborhoods, our communities, our city, our government, our architecture, whatever it is, how can we make that more receptive to everybody, more equitable across the economic, paradigm? I mean, how do we enjoin everybody in making our urban form better so that it works for each of us and that we look forward to getting up each day and making life better for everybody around us? And of course, in this day and age, with everything that's going on politically, it's where we're at. It's an important thing that we need to be all involved in.
Well, and I love that you've rounded that out for everyone to kind of grasp onto. And when I think of a good description of something on a smaller scale of what you do, I think of the beautiful garden in Manhattan that is above the restaurant or the beer garden. And
Central Park?
What is that called?
Are you talking about in Central Park?
It's not in Central Park, but in the beer garden, and it's in Soho. But it's just
beautiful. Oh, you got me on there. That escapes me.
Yeah, but if you are listening and watching out there and you're familiar with it, mm-hmm. it's basically what Roger just said. It is using nature, using architecture, and giving people who are walking by a more pleasurable experience in their walkway, and giving, and there's a place for plants. And right now, where everyone's kind of quarantined or, held to their space, it's a good time where you can use, things around you to better your landscape.
Right. Well, you mentioned that's a really interesting facet. I know that we talked about that because when we talked a few weeks ago about discussing stuff here today, and I know what you're working on. You're working, nonstop, 14 days here, 14 days away, working on your documentary on the effects of COVID-19. And for some of the things that I'm involved with, it's been a hindrance. Obviously that, and just the political the climate of, say, cross-border, things. Those things can be a hindrance. So you do, I encourage people to find things in their neighborhoods and their communities, whether it be community garden or working on how to create better, bicycle access and so forth in your neighborhood or whatever it is, working in the business district to help. A lot of cities have business improvement programs and business improvement districts and facade improvement programs that are out there that people in small entrepreneurs that have a small store can go to their city and perhaps get a matching loan program or something, monies that could help them now. And I've seen that in a few of the restaurants, of course, that are closed. So many restaurants have been closed through this whole thing for the last, 7-8 months. A lot of people, if you're smart and you have the ability to do it, have taken this opportunity to kind of reinvest in their businesses, reinvest in, what their physical operation is like, because maybe they're closed. And if they can find, whether it's the PPP side effects or, you know, funding that's out there on other programs and so forth, to be able to kind of redo your sidewalks in front of you, or paint your the front of your, you know, store, or whatever you can do, that's something that's, I think, really a possibility now. And there's, you always have to look at the good aspects of things. I noticed the other day, you know, how many people go into restaurants nowadays, and we don't see menus anymore because we don't want to touch them and so forth. And you use your phone and you click on the little the scan icon there, and your, you know, menu comes up, and it's, that's obviously something that's been shepherded in by the COVID, you know, reaction to COVID issues, but that's the way of the future. We're going to save on printing costs, and it's more dynamic because you can change. You can literally, if you run out of them, something on the menu, you can go in the kitchen and change the program
right there.
Yes.
Yeah, we might not go back, Roger. We might not go back.
And in a lot of ways, this is good that we're not. Right? So I guess to your point, which you made, which is so important, is you know, how do we invest in our communities? What can we do with your local entrepreneurs? What can you do in your community to be involved to make those changes happen? And things are still happening at the city level. Projects go on. I know some of the projects that I work on are going on. Some of them repeated, but it just depends on, you know, how much is involved with being able to involve community in decisions, and being involved, you know, involving community in decisions at the planning level now is a little bit more difficult. All the meetings that you have are Zoom meetings. City council meetings are all being called as Zoom meetings. And there's some advantage to that too, because you don't have people coming and sitting all day, you know, waiting to see.
Right, it seems to be sped up a little.
Yeah.
Well, do you foresee, and I think you're the perfect person to engineer a future where you could marry your skills and your know-how around government and city government and so forth to integrate a beautiful sanctuary for the homeless, especially in downtown LA.
Yeah, exactly. Like
some kind of living space that's good for the environment, good for them, and doesn't cost a lot, and everybody that walks by can enjoy, or just a safe.
Right. I think it's done at the community level, and it's done at the large scale level. And if you're saying me particularly, I'm involved in certain things like that. But I think when you say, well, you actually said you, I think you're talking to your audience today, and everybody out there can be involved. I can tell you, for instance, I'm involved right now with a project that's specific to Los Angeles. We're in the 10th year where I'm there, the 10th years now, the Friends of Hollywood Central Park, which is an endeavor that's going through the environmental review process now. It's been a 13-year actual process overall. And you're very close to being able to reclaim land that would be on top of the 101 freeway through Central Hollywood from Santa Monica Boulevard up to Bronson. It's about a mile and a quarter just above Hollywood Boulevard. And that is actually an example of a large-scale urban project, which is going to actually reclaim land over the freeways, which is kind of a very interesting, and it's a very relevant thing that's going on in the country and worldwide right now. I can tell you, having, you know, been working on this now for two years on something here in San Diego, there's numerous examples around the country where this is going on. Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Minneapolis are working on it now. Some older examples are some of the things that they've done in downtown Seattle. The I-65 cover that's at the Gateway Arch in St. Louis. And then other perfect examples, you mentioned New York City. Well, everybody knows the High Line. And then you've got...
That's what I was talking about, the High Line.
The High Line. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a great example. And that's
by the beer garden. Yeah.
There's a lot of things that are involved with the High Line there. But as you know, that was just a reclaiming of a freeway. I mean, of a railroad line in New York. And Millennial Park in Chicago is, of course, over Train Yard, too. So I mentioned the thing in Los Angeles because I think it's something that I hope that all you folks start to look forward to. We're at the point now where it's going to be going out for funding, and the work that's gone up over on there for the last 13 years has been amazing. It's setting the precedent for California and for the group that I'm involved with, San Diego Commons, SDC. You can find sandiegocommons.org. We have an info there if you want to be involved, if you want to find out information. I'll tell you that something that's really interesting, and it gets to the equitable thing. Our organization, we haven't set up the online webpage yet because we would have dry information about how we've actually incorporated. We're actually a 501c3 now. But it's so important for us that we're at the early phase now where we're going out to the communities which are involved, which if for those of you who know San Diego, we're talking about building out the community plan that was called for 15 years ago, even longer down in Sherman Heights. But there's the swath of High Five that comes through downtown San Diego, specifically that severs Balboa Park from downtown San Diego, which would be Cortez Hill and Bankers Hill and so forth. And then another portion that goes south and severs the East Village from Sherman Heights. And so we're right now approaching those communities with the framework of San Diego Commons as a nonprofit to be able to do the heavy lifting, but going to the communities right now and engaging people to join people on our board, but actually to lead the whole design effort, because we believe, and this is what we learned from Los Angeles, the Friends of Hollywood Central Park, is that they really allowed the people. It was critical so that there would be community support, that the people on both sides of the Hollywood Freeway, East Hollywood and Hollywood, would feel that they had ownership, that they actually felt invested in the project, invested in the design. And so that way you can get the kind of numbers and the community support that you need to have to go out there and ask, you know, to pursue your congressional people or your congressional people, but your city leaders too, to find that money and find the support for doing something like that. So that's exciting,
Roger. That's exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting for you folks in LA. We're probably a few years away, but we have a good structure in place, and we've had some great mentorship from Lori Golden and Doug Campbell, who are original members of that board at Hollywood Central Park, and who are going forward. And we hope that with the work they're doing at the governor's office and so forth, and funding, and you know, fighting the game with Caltrans to be able to get the rights to be able to do things like this over freeways, that maybe we'll be able to have something like that in another 7 or 8 years here in San Diego.
Where can people go if they want to donate to your efforts? And, you know, maybe it's the last quarter for some businesses and they have a few dollars to donate, you know, for write-offs and things. Mm-hmm. Well, for a 501c.
Yeah, well, if you're in Los Angeles, there's the Friends of Hollywood Central Park, which has been out there for quite a long time. You can find that online. We will have our full-fledged, you know, web page up once we've fully gotten out to the communities and we can start to put some ideas up. But you can write us at info@sandiegocommons.org. That's info@sandiegocommons.org. And we're happy to engage you folks. We will be forming, obviously, we've got to look first off at a feasibility report. But we don't even want to go there until we know the scope of what it is that the people want. So this really becomes kind of you want to be careful not to get the cart ahead of the horse, because you really want to have the engagement of the folks that are involved.
I like that. Well, you're doing Elevating Urban Environments, and we added your logo to our flyer today. We're going to tag you. It's a really cool thing that Roger's got going on. And Roger, where can people find you and reach you?
Well, you can actually find me, and I'm easy to see. I don't know if you can see my hair. I pop out in the crowd pretty easily. but you can find me at Roger at Elevating Urban Environments. It's long, but it's as it sounds, Elevating Urban Environments, no spaces, no dots or anything, just Elevating Urban Environments. And I can certainly connect you with things, and I'm here to help. I'm originally, you know, I've done everything from community organizing. I was an Oracle database architect that worked on contracts or projects with the State Department on larger scale planning issues. I've served on planning committees and boards. I'm actually the president of that San Diego Commons organization now. And I've got One of the things that I would, if we have a few minutes, I'd like to mention is the aspect of what's happening with COVID and what's happening with the current situation along the border with the issues that we're facing from our federal government and making it so.
Sure, difficult. We have 3 minutes. If you can tell us in 3 minutes.
Great. There's an organization out there called it's called Barrios Hermanos. And there's an info there, barrioshermanos.com. And that's an organization that I and a few other people started, which is there to promote entrepreneurial and cultural exchange between communities on both sides of the Tijuana and San Diego border. And that's been, we hit a little bit of a lull on that now because it's very difficult to have artists like Jorge Taleche from Mexico City put on, you know, art exhibitions in our side of the border. But that's the whole idea, is to be a platform for people to be able to promote their endeavors that are out there about raising equity and creating better links between people on both sides of the border. You can find that. Again, that's barrioshermanos.com. You can reach us there and leave us a message if you have something you'd like to promote. And I'm also a member, a partner in a small emerging development group in Tijuana. It's doing some great infill development stuff, and we are working on Ped West and Ped East right now to do some pedestrian improvements. Ped West is closed now, but the new Ped East at San Ysidro is open. But you can find us under Central Ventures, and we'll have some projects there coming up, a big one that we're excited about next year that will involve a commercial and retail entrepreneurial stand-up along the border there.
So how exciting, Roger!
Yeah, a lot of things.
I think it's very important for people to know, without giving out your location, you live very close to the California-Mexico border.
Yes.
And it's not what people are reporting. There's not people coming crazy over. There's law and order. It always has been.
Yeah.
And you go over the border quite often for business, and you see it with your own eyes. Yeah. So.
And it's
good to go to these places and see things for yourself sometimes.
Yeah, I would encourage people. You know, there are issues, obviously, still with the way the political temperament is now crossing the border. I guess the last thing I'd say with you and to your listeners and so forth is make the difference. Vote. The only things that are going to make this change where we can get back with working with people on both sides of the border. There's no place in the world where you have 2 cities of 1.5 million people on each side of a border that touch each other, that have the kind of cultural diversity and language and financial diversity and talent that we have here. And, the San Diego-Tijuana region should be one of the great lights for the next, 50 years going forward. So, and that's only going to happen if we get the right people in local government, but certainly the right people in the federal government. And that means for whatever you're doing in Los Angeles, whatever you're doing here, wherever you are, get out and vote and be involved, get people
involved.
Yeah.
There's beautiful people and beautiful talent on both sides of the border. And we definitely promote people coming legally and being responsible, but let's be the change and be positive and promote that. And
absolutely.
Roger, thank you for being on my show, friend. It's good to see you.
It's been a pleasure. And I so appreciate what you're doing. You're risking yourself out there as you travel and try and document. But everything that we're talking about between the two of us right now has to do with, the future and keeping the glass half full and working with your, whatever you can do, whether it's community garden, whatever you're doing locally, be involved, find something that keeps you safe, but make a difference. Make a difference now while we have this opportunity and things have slowed down where we can kind of do that. Thank you so much.
Amen, brother.
Thanks.
Find something to look forward to and give yourself a project, right?
Any of your listeners have any questions or anything or interests in just a little bit? Maybe I can help Roger at elevatingurbanenvironments.com.
And that's on Instagram, everybody. And I always say thank you so much for my supporters. Michael Solberg Family Wines, thank you so much for your continued sponsorship and support. Elevating Urban Environments, thank you for your support, and all the people who supported my 1 year anniversary last year, thank you so much. And What Will You Start Up Today? We'll see you next week from another location.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.